peace, right? It's supposed to be a time of quiet and serenity. And I guess that for most of us, we have those moments. We have those quiet moments over the Christmas break. But usually Christmas is busy. And there's all kinds of pressures. And there's all kinds of expectations to make sure that the roast lamb and the barbecue are as good as the neighbors, if not better. To make sure that our presents are the best presents. It's no surprise that family violence peaks over Christmas. And that's partly because we eat too much. And some of us drink too much and we spend too much money. And none of these things help. The Bible doesn't tell us how to celebrate Christmas. And most of the ways that we celebrate Christmas are cultural. We actually don't have to do the things that we do. So if there are elements of Christmas that bring stress into your life, don't do them next year. Unless it's the church service. Church service is a source of stress for anyone other than me. Choose how you celebrate. Choose things that lift you up, that build you up. Choose things that breathe life into your family, not the opposite. You get to choose how you celebrate. So now it's over. And we're looking forward to a new year. And it's time to relax. And it's time to chill. Breathe. Get perspective. So today I am preaching about peace. I think we need it. And the angels, part of the Christmas story, was the promise of peace. And the goal of the services between Christmas and the end of January is that they will be nice, simple, short service. That's the idea. Keep it simple. But peace isn't quite as simple as you think it's going to be. So this is a 5, possibly 6-point sermon. Because there are all kinds of different pieces of peace. If you want more, I can do more. The big one, the first kind of peace that we need to talk about is peace with God. Romans 5 verse 1 says this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we live in a fallen world, the default state of humanity is not peace with God. It's alienation from God. It's hostility to God. The Bible tells us that by nature we are objects of wrath. And if you want to know what that means, come up to me afterwards and pronounce it wrath, and you will discover what it means to be an object of wrath. This is because of disobedience to God. This is because of the sin that dogs our lives, that separates us from God. And to be honest, most of it is simply just because for most human beings, most of the time, we ignore God. The point of Christmas is that God sent his son to give us a way back into God's presence, a new and a living way, a way to heal the hostility between us and God. And when Jesus died on the cross, he provided that way. So we ask Jesus into our lives and we ask him to forgive the sin that separates us from God, and we ask him to heal us spiritually, and we make Jesus our Lord, and we make the decision that we will obey him, and we start a journey into God. And on that journey, as we walk that journey, we become more and more like Jesus Christ. And God becomes an increasingly important part of our lives. We become disciples. We learn. And then we become apostles. Apostles with a small a. Taking what we've learned into the world around us. Sharing Jesus. And peace with God is really, really important. Because our eternal destiny depends on it. because it's only God's friends that get invited into God's house. God's enemies don't get invited into his house. So peace with God is critically important. And when you have peace with God, lots of things come right in our lives. So we find our identity, and we find security, and we find confidence, and we put ourselves in a position where God can bless us, and he can open doors in front of us, and we find purpose, and we find rest. It's kind of like the Lazarus effect. I have been noted for having a bit of a bad sense of humor. There are some people that still haven't got over the stable joke from the family service. And John seems to be competing for the worst dad jokes. He will lose. Jesus told some jokes. And one of the jokes that Jesus told is the story of Lazarus. Not the Lazarus that gets raised from the dead, the Lazarus that eats crumbs from the rich man's table, sits at his doorway, and whose sores are licked by the dogs. That Lazarus. Lazarus is the Greek version of the Hebrew Eliezer. And Eliezer means God helps. And if there was anybody in the whole of the Bible that didn't get helped by God, it was Lazarus. I mean, ooh. And the moment he dies, he's in God's presence. And in this world, he has nothing, but he has everything. And the rich man that he lives next to in this world has everything, but has nothing because he doesn't have peace with God. So we commit our lives to Christ, and we start a journey, and we start a partnership. And in that journey, we come closer to God, and we pursue holiness. We use forgiveness. We take time to listen to God and to talk to God. We read the Bible, we worship, we serve, we obey, and we come closer. Peace with God is the foundation stone of peace in our lives. Point two, or point 1B, depending on how you want to take it, is simple linguistics. Most of us here speak more than one language. Some of us speak multiple languages. And because of that, you will know that no one word in one language completely equals another word in another language. Language doesn't work that way. And, you know, we've the word in Hebrew for peace is the word shalom. And we translate it as peace in English because it's the closest word. But they're not the same thing. The word peace in English is fundamentally a negative word. The absence of war equals peace. The absence of strife, the absence of hostility equals peace. So when your kids, for the 3 minutes over the entire Christmas period, that they stop fighting with each other and arguing and actually are quiet and well-behaved, those are your moments of peace. Peace is the absence of noise. It's effectively negative. The Hebrew is quite different. The Hebrew is a positive concept. In fact, shalom, peace, which you've all heard, shalem in Hebrew means to be whole. It means completeness. So the secondary meaning of the word is wholeness, it's completion, it's harmony. It's a positive idea. It's the presence of something, not the absence of something. So if you and me get into a fight, which is possible, it might happen, and we stop fighting, then we are at peace. That's the English word. But in the Hebrew, we're not at peace just because we stop fighting. We're at peace because we become friends. It's a positive idea. Peace with God is always positive. It's about healing. It's about blessing. It's about relationship, even about justice. So, point two or three. Yeah, it's confusing. Let's go with two. Peace with God. Peace within yourself. Inner peace. A state of being at rest. A state of being whole. A state of well-being. The opposite of anxiety and stress and confusion and depression. Not just the absence of those things, but the opposite of those things. When you have peace with God, you can have peace in yourself. The verse that I read at the beginning reminds us that peace is a gift from Jesus. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. It's his peace that he puts in our lives. So inner peace comes from God. But it comes from God in a whole bunch of different ways. When I know who I am, I find peace. When I discover that I'm a child of God, when I discover that I'm called and that I'm forgiven and that I'm loved, when I find who I am in those things, I find peace. And when I know where I'm going, when I know the purpose that God has for my life, I find peace. And when I trust God, I find peace. Jesus, shortly after saying, "Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you," says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." So I know whatever I face, whatever difficulty comes my way, whatever challenges are mine, I can trust God. I know that he has plans. I know that he will work all things together for good. I know that while many things catch me by surprise, nothing ever catches God by surprise. And when I trust, I don't need to stress. So I look at my life and I recognize God is in control. And that brings peace because I don't have to worry. So I use the tools of peace. Peace in God that transforms understanding will guard your hearts and minds. That verse is written in the context of prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. So I take my issues and I give them to God. So you get back from the holiday and you walk into work and the boss says three of you are going to be made redundant this year. How do you feel? Stressed. Of course, you could feel happy because you hate your job, but most of us are going to feel stressed. So what do? I put that into a prayer to God. I go to God and I say, "God, the boss said three of us are going to lose our jobs. Lord, I trust you. I trust that you're in control." And maybe God will make sure that that's not one of you. Maybe he'll make sure that it's the other difficult people that lose their jobs. Usually it goes the other way around. I'm not quite sure why. Or maybe God will just provide something else for you. Maybe it will be a better job. Maybe he'll change where he wants you to be. And however God answers that prayer doesn't matter. What matters is that he will answer it. And that you can trust him. You don't need to understand. You don't need to stress. You just need to trust. Don't have to worry because God is in control. And I live in the forgiveness of God. And that forgiveness brings me closer to God. And I find peace in that. And I live in obedience. I do my bit And when I do my bit again, I find peace with God. And I accept myself with all of my imperfections, both of them. Ask my wife afterwards, she'll tell you. Okay, we lost our sense of humor over Christmas. That's okay, it'll come back in the new year. I can accept myself because Christ accepted me. He accepted me even though I'm not perfect. And one of the great things about knowing who I am is knowing who I'm not and knowing who I do not need to be. Not Benny Hinn. So I do who I am, and I do what God's put in me, and I use the skills and the talents that God's given me, and I don't fuss about what I'm not. Okay, I'm going to admit something here. It's one of those imperfections. Right, so you've got to figure out what the other one is. I'm a pessimist. Did you know that? I am definitely a pessimist. And yet, along with that pessimism, I have this incredible hope, this incredible expectation of the future, that God is going to do good in my life and in the lives of people around me. And when you've got that hope, there's peace. And I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. And I fix my eyes on the right thing. I fix my eyes not on what's seen, but what is unseen. Because what's seen is temporary, it's passing away, and what's unseen is eternal. So I don't buy into the commercialism and the materialism, because if I do, if I chase those things, I will never have enough. Instead, I fix my eyes on Christ, and I trust him with my needs, and that brings peace into my life. And I live in grace, knowing that Christ is working in me, that he's forgiving me. I don't have to do this for myself. And I enter his rest. And I learn how to be content in every situation. Because when I am content in every situation, I don't need to stress. The song that I played is an old song. It was from my childhood. The one over the announcements. Next week's going to be an old song too. Listen to the Peace is the name of the song. Listen to the peace. Let God speak his peace into your life. Center yourself. The next kind of peace is external peace. Peace with God. Peace within myself. Peace in the world around me. And here we usually, again, go back to this negative idea. And we have this idea that if all of our problems and all of our trials and all of our difficulties and all of the things that cause stress in our lives were to miraculously disappear, we would have peace. And that peace would lead to happiness. It is all the difficulties around me that rob the peace from my life. All the stress factors. If that's the way that you see life, I have one thing to say to you. Good luck. Because if you're trusting on outside world, the experience of your world, to bring you inner peace, you are going to be waiting for a long time. Look at the Bible. The Bible, on many different levels, is a book of war. Israel had very, very short periods of peace. Most of the time, it was at war. And even when we look at Jesus' birth, which we think of as this peaceful event, it was born out of trauma. The nation was occupied by the Romans. There was actually fear of war between Roman and the Persian Empire at the time. Herod try so hard to murder the baby Jesus that his family have to flee down into Egypt. This is not a peaceful birth. We were, to quote Switchfoot, born into the fight. We were born into a broken world. And we were born into a cosmic conflict between God and Satan. And the lives of most of the people on this planet are ruled by greed and selfishness and a wrong kind of ambition that wants to be first and wants to be most important and disobedience from God. And none of those things bring peace. None of those things create peace. None of those things are going away anytime soon. So if you're waiting for one of those perfect moments when your life is completely serene, if you think that inner peace is reliant upon outer peace, then you probably won't end up with either of them. Just like in the Bible, there will be times of peace. But generally, those times are short-lived. We were born into the fight. Jesus is crossing the Sea of Galilee. It's been a long day. He is tired. Halfway across the lake, a storm hits. Half of Jesus' disciples are fishermen. They're good with boats. They know the Lake Kinneret well. They know what to do, and the storm is so bad that they are panicking, and Jesus is asleep in the storm. And this gives us this beautiful image of what your life can be like. There can be these incredible storms going on around you. And in your heart, there can be peace and trust. When Jesus is finally awoken by the disciples, I imagine he wasn't too impressed. He speaks peace to the storm. But whether the storm was there or not, the boat wasn't going to sink. It wasn't going to sink because Jesus was in the boat. And that's an image for our lives. No matter what happens around us, no matter what we might go through, if Jesus is present, we can have peace. A peace that is not reliant on our circumstances, but is reliant on our relationship with God. So you look at your world and you identify the different storms and you take them to God in prayer. You recognize that the storm is outside of you, not inside of you. And if you have the peace of God in your life, it is way, way easier to deal with the storm around you. So we learn how to live in a world at war. And we learn the tools to overcome in this world. And in doing so, we grow and we mature. The peace in me affects the storm around me. The storm does not affect the peace in me. Jesus said that the peace that he gives is not a worldly peace. It's not reliant on external things. It's a divine peace. It's a different kind of peace. And in Philippians, Paul talks about a peace that transcends understanding. That means an irrational, bizarre, unexplained, strange peace. A peace that just shouldn't be there. A peace in the storm. Lord Jesus, put your peace in my life. We all want God to change our circumstances. We all want God to change the storms around us. And he does and he will. I believe those things. I believe that God answers prayer. I believe that he heals. I believe that he protects. I believe that he blesses. But for the storms in my life, before any of those things, I'm going to have peace where I am. I'm going to trust God in my circumstance. I don't need that storm to go away before I can find peace in God. And I'm going to recognize that God is working in all of these circumstances. I don't wait for God to quieten the storm. I have peace in the storm. The peace that does not depend on my circumstances, it depends on God. So yes, your boss probably is an idiot. Bua, stop smiling. And yes, you probably are broke over Christmas. And yes, you've got all those health issues. And yes, you've got all those difficult issues within your family and with your neighbors. But the peace from God doesn't depend on that. The peace from God is the controlling factor in your life. And that peace actually changes the world around you. Four. Okay, five. 5B. I never was good at points in sermons. World peace. We live in a world at war, and nation against nation. And even within our nations, there is conflict. And Jesus said that war and upheaval and famine would increase the closer we got to his coming, not decrease. So if you are looking for world peace, you are going to need to have a substantial amount of patience. Right? It's not happening anytime soon. And the reasons it's not happening anytime soon are because all of those things that are in us as an individual and create disharmony work on national levels too. Greed. Nations get greedy. Nations want control. Nations want power. And our response to all this is not to buy into the panic, not to live in fear as everybody else seems to, and in the middle of that, to actually be a messenger of peace. We don't buy into the conflict. In the end, there will be peace. But there will not be peace until the Prince of Peace brings peace. Because world peace will not happen until it is Christ that brings peace. And the lion and the calf lie down together, and the wolf and the lamb. And Christ changes our world so that our world is not one that's based on aggression and competition and the abuse of power, but rather it's one that's based on righteousness. So I'm looking for Christ's return. I am working for Christ's return. I am praying for Christ's return. The fifth kind of peace, or sixth, is peace with others. We've got a long list of people we get on with, right? Hopefully, I am on your list of people that you get on with. Hopefully. Hopefully, you're on my list of people that I get on with. We also have a list of people we don't get on with. Romans 12 says this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, sometimes it doesn't depend on us. Sometimes it is somebody else being unreasonable. And sometimes it does depend on us. And sometimes bringing peace would require us to compromise things that we're not prepared to compromise. Peace is not always possible. But Jesus said that we are to be peacemakers. So you've got this kind of flow-on effect. Peace with God leads to peace in me, leads to the ability to deal with the storms in the world around me, leads to the ability for me to bring peace into other situations. The difficult neighbor, the difficult person at work, the difficult pastor. As God's peace works through me, I get to bring peace into situations. Have you ever noticed that there are some people when they walk into the room that the stress level rises? Have you noticed? I do not suffer from stress. I am a carrier. Other people, when they walk into the room, suddenly there's peace. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that some people bring peace with them? It's actually a biblical concept. And I've got to be that person. I've got to be the one that brings peace into disharmony. That actually shows God's peace in the way that I am. Part of that is witnessing. Part of that is actually explaining to others how they can have peace with God, so they can have peace within themselves, so they can have peace in the storm, so they can be a messenger of peace, a peacemaker. The peace that God puts in me, I've got to put in other people. Because ultimately, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. I have a couple of volunteers to distribute the elements. The goal of today is to de-stress. The goal of today is, after Christmas and after all the busyness, just to refocus on Christ. So what's the source of stress in your life, other than me? What are the things that bring stress? What are the things that you're facing? What are the storms around your life? It's time to take those things and to give them to God. It's time to do the trust prayer. Lord, this is what I'm facing. But I believe that you will see me through. I believe that you have the answer, that you have the solution. And I don't need to worry because it's in your hands, Lord. And it's time to do the refocusing thing. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am accepted. I am forgiven. Christ is living in me. So I have peace. I have peace with God. I have peace within myself. So as you take the communion, lift those things to God. Make a decision to trust him. And let his peace fill your life. The peace that transcends all understanding. The peace that is a gift from Jesus Christ. You are the Prince of Peace, the Minister of Peace. So Lord, I pray, as we recover from Christmas, as we get ready to face a new year, fill our lives with your peace. May we know the peace in our lives that comes from peace with you. And Lord, may that peace overflow into the lives of others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let's eat and let's drink together. If you need prayer today, there is an opportunity to pray. People will be at the front to pray with you. At the back, there is tea and coffee. No biscuits, no donuts. You don't need it. You've eaten enough already. Just leave them on the plate. Leave them for me. And have an awesome week. And we will see you on Wednesday night for the New Year service. God bless you.